You are listening to the Temple Bible Church Sermon Podcast. Learn how you can be a part of the ministry of TBC by visiting templebiblechurch.org.
Well, let's thank Mark and his team and the folks in the back. We're grateful. We praise God for you guys and lady as you lead us in worship, guys in the back. Also want to say a big thanks to David Richardson and Lucas Hayes. As we go through this series, our small groups, which is the primary vehicle for discipleship, is TBC. At TBC is the home group. They're going through a study called Belonging, Why Church Matters, each week, walking through the same things we're walking through, and grateful for David and Lucas for putting that together. And then we'll just mention next week is Back to Church Sunday. Churches all over our nation are participating in this event to invite folks who maybe have been away for a while to come back. So on the shelves as you're leaving or out at the welcome desk or black table in the lobby, we've got cards where you can snag one of these and maybe invite a friend or neighbor or coworker. We'll share some on social media about that as well. We're continuing this week in a series on why church matters and what it looks like to be together, and today we're going to talk about growing in Christ together, becoming who we're meant to be. If you've got a Bible or your app, you can go to 2 Peter 3 and Ephesians chapter 4. Well, have you ever known someone who had lots of biblical information, but virtually no transformation? I met a guy one time who had memorized entire books of the Bible. He could quote them from memory. But the more I got to know him, I realized he was bitter, he was unkind, and he was morally bankrupt. He had information, but no transformation. And sometimes we fill a gap between what we know from Scripture, and we should know the Scripture. It is good to study the Scripture and how we live. And so this week, as we talk about belonging and growing in Christ together, we want to think about becoming who we are meant to be as the people of God. And kind of the big idea is this: God's relentless grace grows us in Christ through His Word, His Spirit, and His people. And spiritual growth for you and for me is going to be a lifelong journey. The church is where God shapes us into who we're meant to be. It can't happen alone. So we want to talk about growing as members of the church. And what do we mean when we say members of the church? If you look in our founding documents, there are 13 things that we say that we hope for people who are part of us, but we don't have a role for you to sign. Now, there's nothing wrong with signing a role, but what we want you to know and understand is we're talking about something way more important than that, right? Because I can sign my name on a roll and then just tear it up, right? But if you rip my arm off, I'll bleed to death. And we think the Scripture says, and we want to say, we are members of one another. We're part of the same body. And so what we're going to do is first talk about the call to grow, foundational call to grow, and what that requires and how it happens. And then four areas where TBC needs to grow. Well, first, we're going to see that growth requires surrender. And what is the growth that we're called to? 2 Peter 3:18 says this: grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we want to grow in knowing Jesus, understanding Him through the Word, through prayer, through community. And we want to grow in the grace. We want our lives to be transformed. We want to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, true growth comes when knowledge bends our heart towards surrender to Jesus. When there's humility, when there's open to correction, when there's turning away from ungodliness. An Anglican theologian named J.I. Packer kind of talked about knowledge this way. He said there are two kinds of theologians in the world, and one are the kinds who sit in ivory towers, and they look down at people on the road who are walking, and they talk about how they're walking and really generally all that they're doing wrong. But then there's another kind of theologian, and it's the person who's down on the road walking out what they're believing and living and understanding. And those are the sorts of theologians we, studiers of God, want to be. Bible knowledge without yieldedness to Christ leaves us unchanged and arrogant. A sad example that comes to my mind is this professor. One of the most popular things to do in theological realms is to complain about the Apostle Paul and how Paul's writings don't line up with modern thinking. And it's the oddest thing, and there's this one example that just stands out. It's a professor on the East Coast, and this particular professor has left his family. He drinks bad beer and smokes cheap cigarettes and sleeps with students. And he will tell you how awful the Apostle Paul was. And the Apostle Paul was awful, right? He was a murderer of Christians, a persecutor of the church, but his life was radically transformed by the grace of Jesus Christ. So he's not just a guy who from an ivory tower sat and penned half the New Testament. He was beaten nearly to death multiple times. He lost everything. He became the dregs of the earth, as he described himself. And he said, I know this, the Holy Spirit's testified that bonds and afflictions are waiting for me everywhere I go, but I don't count my life as dear to myself. All that matters is I want to finish the race. I want to finish the course. I want to fulfill the ministry that Jesus has given to me. So we have to understand the scripture to grow, but growth is not about stockpiling doctrines. It's about living transformed lives because of what we've learned. If truth in us is not producing greater and greater humility in us, then we've confused information with formation. And if you think growth can happen with information and not formation, then you've become misinformed. Well, where do I get that from? I get it from Jesus, right? Jesus said this. He said, "He who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a man who built his house on the rock." You hear the word of Jesus, you study it and go, "Nice idea, but I'm not doing it." Then you're like a person who builds your house on the sand, and when the storms come, and believe me, storms are coming, your house gets washed away. But he who hears these words of mine and does them is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The Apostle James says it this way: be doers of the word and not hearers only. Yes, hear it. Yes, read it. Yes, understand it. But don't stop there. Be a doer of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving yourselves. If you hear the word, but you don't do it, and your life is not transformed, you've been deceived. Growth requires surrender. Growth requires surrender, and growth happens in community. Growth happens in community. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 11. He gave the apostles and prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for works of ministry to build up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. Christ gave apostles and prophets, those who wrote the New Testament and the Old Testament. He's given evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip all of us, that we would be equipped for works of ministry. That happens in community. Growth is this community project, not a solo pursuit. So our Constitution says that part of what we expect of one another is that we would hold one another accountable to the Word of God, that we'd live out accountability in grace-filled relationships because we are together. Has anybody gone to see the redwoods in California? Anybody? About seven of you. I'm really jealous, right? I've never seen them. Here's what I do know, is that it's really rare that you see a redwood standing alone. Redwoods grow very tall, but they have very shallow roots. And so they need one another. So their roots, though shallow, are intertwined. And so when you look at the forest, it's almost like you're looking at one root system. They're so intertwined. They're so bound to one another. They need one another so much that without one another, they'll topple over. See, a redwood alone, when great winds come, it's not going to withstand it. When the storms come, it's going to fall over. See, we want to grow up to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why? So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. But we want to grow up into Christ, and that happens together. We will not grow to maturity without one another. So the truth in love in Ephesians 4:15 comes not just from pulpits, but conversation and encouragement and walking together. Growth requires surrender. Growth happens in community, and growth leads to mission. See, Paul says in Ephesians 4 that when we speak the truth in love, we grow up in every way to Him who is the head. Verse 17 says, when each part is working properly, the body builds itself up in love. See, growth in Christ leads us to be built up, but then it's in love. Love overflows to others. Love is not something that we hold on to for ourselves. It flows out of us. So if I ask you what a sponge is for, you might say to hold water, but if you did say that, you would be wrong. A sponge is to clean things with. You soak up water and then you squeeze it out, right? If you fill a sponge with water and leave the water in it, it will sour. See, here's the reality that doing kindness apart from trusting the gospel and speaking the gospel will lead to self-righteousness. We don't just hang on to kindness. We pour it out of us, and then we also pour truth out of us. There's this mission we're called to that's a mission of word and deed. Truth that stays in the living room will suffocate, right? But when rooted in the gospel, our serving is an overflow of grace that points people back to Jesus Christ. And growth always leads to mission. It always leads to overflow if it's true Christian growth. Now, there's a tension in this when we talk about this, because you go, Chase, I hear it, but it's really difficult, and it feels like growth happens really slow. Well, right, redwoods grow slow. Children grow slow. We don't see it daily, but over the seasons we see it. And we live in a world where you're going to leave here and pull out your phone, and on social media it's going to tell you you can get fit in 10 days. That is a lie, right? It's going to tell you that you can take a master class on grilling, and in 3 classes you'll be able to cook brisket better than Miller's. That is a lie. Some of you don't think that's a lie. Your wife just pats you on the shoulder. You do great, honey, right? See, growth just takes time. It just does. But you certainly want to grow, right? Kids are cute, but we don't want them to stay kids forever. I got 5. I want mine to grow. Well, growth leads to mission, and we need it, but the tension is that it takes a long time. And God uses rhythms of grace, teaching, table, fellowship, praying, serving, giving, forgiving, and forgiving, and forgiving. Did I mention forgiving? Over lots of time, we look more and more like Jesus because the risen Christ is at work in us together. That's the tension. The gift is this. We don't have to pretend that we've arrived because we haven't. But we do have to keep walking together in Christ. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together, by which every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so it's built up in love. See, true Christian growth is not more information or busier activity. It's transformation through surrender, rooted in community, bearing fruit in mission, nourished in steady rhythms of grace. Growth leads to mission. We live in a community where you could go to a different Bible study 5 nights a week. But if you do, you're going to be like a sponge and you'll never be around people God has called us to love and speak the truth in love to. Growth leads to mission. Well, how do we grow? What are 4 ways that TBC needs to grow that I see? See, there's a foundation for growth. These values we hold: surrender to Jesus, authentic community, sacrificial, missional living. But then how do we grow? Well, first, I think we do need to grow in knowing Jesus. And that comes through understanding the Word together. Because I did tell you about the guy who could quote all the Scripture, but his life was not transformed. I know many more people who know the Scripture whose lives have been transformed. See, that's what it's made to do. So we've got to grow in grace, but we've also got to grow in knowledge. We've got to grow in knowing Jesus. In Ephesians 3, 18 and 19, Paul says this. He's praying that the church would have the strength to understand or comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. He wants us to know this story of the love of Jesus Christ that will blow our minds. It will surpass everything we can know, but he wants us to know it in such a way that we're just filled up, that if you pour out Chase, you don't get Chase, you get Jesus. We're filled with all the fullness of God. So what that means for us, examples of that in our church document, in our statement of belief, our constitution, that we would walk together in Christian love, that we would exercise Christian care, concern, and watchfulness over one another. I don't know about you, but I want to be part of a community like that, right? That walks in Christian love, exercises Christian care, concern, and watchfulness for one another. Be thoughtful, considerate, slow to take offense, quick to forgive, and seek forgiveness. Bring up children as they're entrusted to you in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Man, I want my kids to know Jesus. We got to grow in knowing Jesus if our kids are going to grow in knowing Jesus. And we've got to learn to forgive and seek forgiveness. See, growth in Bible literacy and gospel clarity is vital, because knowing Jesus isn't abstract. It's this gut level. I know this man who died to himself to give life to the world, and I want to follow him in such a way that it just looks like I'm crucified. I've died to myself, and the life that I'm now living, I'm living by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. And it can be like this. You can get to know Jesus so, so well that you're like that old married couple who finishes one another's sentences. See, wouldn't that be a beautiful picture for the world? So wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you can take that first or next step. The first step would be to know Jesus Christ. If you don't know him, it would be to step into the life that's truly life. That there's life and hope in Jesus Christ. Apart from your good works or my good works, it's through his death and resurrection. But then if you know him, are you growing in knowing him? Are you in a small group? Are you regularly praying or reading the Scripture? Are you joining a growth class? Small practices done consistently deepen our roots. We need to grow in knowing Jesus, and we need to grow in our unity. We need to grow in our unity. Ephesians 4:3 says that the church in Ephesus or the church in Temple, ought to be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We live in a world that would encourage us to be eager to be angry. And we are quickly angry with one another, and we display it for the world sometimes. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Our unity is not just some sloppy thing, right? It's in Christ. It's under the authority of Christ, but there's one body. There's one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Ephesians continues again in verse 13. Until we all attain. How long should we seek unity? Until we all attain the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood. Well, what does mature manhood look like? The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That what we're aiming for is that people would come in and see a bunch of tall trees rooted together that can't be blown over because of their mutual dependence and love and care for one another in Christ. So that together we assist in the work of the church, we witness to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, and we persevere together by example and word and prayer. It's not uniformity, but it's many different and individual people tuned to the same pitch, Jesus himself. If you've ever seen an orchestra, what you see is many talented individuals working together. Well, can you imagine if you go to an orchestra and everybody goes, hey, I just feel led to play this tonight, right? So the violin's led to play one thing, and then the viola's led to play another thing, and then the bassoon's led to play another thing, and all these talented people just go, I'm going to play whatever I want, and man, they are amazing, gifted, talented musicians. But what you would hear would not be music. It would be horrible, right? But when they are surrendered to the conductor, man, it's amazing what they can do together. And it's far more beautiful than if they were playing to the beat of their own drum, so to speak. See, when we're together, it guards us against division. We can refuse gossip. We can choose grace when wrong. We can lean into community rather than drifting into isolation, because when we isolate, just knowing how great a tall redwood we are, you can watch the wind blow and see us topple. And it's really sad. It's ugly. It gives the world a poor picture. We need to grow in unity, and we need to grow in our witness. We need to grow in our witness. There was a time when I was growing up in the Lord, when witness was kind of a normal part of what you did, and then there was a season where the church backed off of that, and now there's growing again. But what witness looks like is verse 15, we speak the truth in love so that we grow up in every way into Christ. Well, what does it mean to speak the truth in love as we grow in our witness? See, some people speak a truth that's really not loving at all. And then some people, in the name of love, really won't speak the truth that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. And what we tend to do is we pick a truth that we want to talk about, and it might be our favorite football team, it might be our politic, but it's often not the gospel. And we'll argue with people and fight online about stuff that's less than Jesus Christ lived and died and rose from the dead. Now, sometimes what we say is true, but it might not be the best thing to say. It would be like this, right? You guys know, don't hiss at me, please. I'm a Horns fan, right? But it would be like this. If I looked at college football yesterday and UT just barely squeaked by UTEP, and I said, Arch Manning throws for a touchdown and runs for two as UT gets a 3-score win. Now, it should have been about a 7-score win, right? But then on the other hand, I say, A&M barely squeaked by a small Catholic school with a population 1/4 of their size, right? Well, that's technically true, but that's not the truth, right? And see, what we want to do is aim for the truth, that the resurrection of Jesus Christ means that he has authority in our lives together to change us so that we will die to our wants, our dreams, our desires, and that our lives are lived solely to magnify the beauty of Jesus so that people will know the salvation that comes from him. We've got to grow as a witness, but here's the truth. Witness is not a program. It's a byproduct of knowing Jesus. It overflows. We glorify God by making disciples, by obeying the Great Commission, because we can't help not doing it. But if our life is ugly, our witness will go unheard, right? So if we don't love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us, if we're not the most forgiving and unoffendable people on the planet, our witness might come across silently. We've got to grow in knowing Jesus. We've got to grow in unity. We've got to grow in our witness, and we've got to grow in generosity. Now, some of you hear that and you go, I got a thing, lunch appointment at 12. I got to get out of here, right? Well, why do I say we have to grow in generosity? Because TBC, generosity has been part of our DNA, and we've been through a ton, and this year is a really hard year. But I'll tell you why I think we need to grow is because the population of TBC has grown over the last 12 months, but the giving of TBC has declined in the last 12 months. So here's a picture of what it looks like, and it's getting a little better, but you can see that our monthly goal to do what we do takes about $280,000. Last week, we had a really great week, $100,000 given to our general fund. Year to date, we were about 6% down. Now we're about 4% down. Our giving has declined, so our population has grown, right? And then we've got a mortgage that we love to pay off as well. And so we need to grow. We need to grow. But I want us to understand this. When we talk about giving, we're not talking about subtraction. We're talking about multiplying what God is doing, participating in God's mission. Just a couple of verses. Ephesians 4 says that we work so that we will be able to give to those in need. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8 says that God loves a cheerful giver. The point is this: if you sow sparingly, you'll also reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart. It's not a law. You give what you've decided in your heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound to you. You can trust him when you give generously so that you have all sufficiency in all things at all times so that you may abound in every good work. God's going to take care of you when you give. I was somewhere listening to an evangelist preach, and he said, people ask me, how do I know when I'm giving enough? And he said, I think you ought to give till it hurts. And the next week, the pastor got up and he said, hey, there's something to be said for sacrificial giving. But he put up Paul's words in 2 Corinthians that God loves a cheerful giver. And he said, I don't think you ought to grow till it hurts. I think you ought to give till it hurts. He said, I think you ought to give till it feels good, right? 1 Timothy 6 says it this way. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They're to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Well, what does it look like? What does it look like when we give generously? I thought about how to describe this, and I thought about telling you what my family does, but the scripture says I probably shouldn't let my right hand know what my left hand is doing, and so I think by extension that means I shouldn't let you know what I'm doing either. But I can tell you about a couple of guys who impacted my life deeply. I went back, a friend of mine shared with me a message that Gary preached a short time before he passed away in July of 2019. And he talked about his practice of giving. And then Gene Martin, who's a missions pastor before I was a missions pastor, talked to me a lot about his practice of giving. And they said what they would do is for them it was 10%, but there's no law, right? You give what you've decided to in your heart, but they would give a significant portion of their income to the church. And then they would give to mission, and they would give to projects over and above that. And Gene would say, and we aim to grow our giving and these other things by about 1% a year. He was trying to match what he was giving to the church and giving to other things, just pouring out generosity. For some of you, 20% would be overwhelming. You'd have no margin at all. And for others of you, 20%, you wouldn't miss. But you should ask, well, what happens when I give, right? I came in this church and not on staff, wasn't on staff for the first 6 years. And my wife and I stepped in this place after moving to Temple. And I'm looking around, hearing the gospel preached, seeing this mission map. And I go, what does my money go to, right? Is it just going to buy all these black hats Mark Rojas wears, right? What's my money going? Mark wasn't even on staff then, right? What's my money going to when I give to TBC? And what I found really encouraged me, and it still encourages me. I mean, sure, there are amazing things like marriages being healed, lives being changed, addictions being broken here on campus and in our city. Generosity leads to support groups and home groups and gatherings to build disciples throughout the week. And then what happens when you give to TBC? Beyond our walls, giving flows into our city. See, through your general fund gifts to TBC, because a percentage goes to missions, 20% goes to missions, and then we give monthly support to local organizations. Families are fed in crisis through CTLC. Cycles of poverty are broken by helping hands. The next generation is mentored at the 411 house. Kids are loved who are stuck in the foster system through our partnership with Foster Love Bell County. We bring healing at the Body of Christ Clinic, disciple athletes and students through FCA and 323. And bring hope behind bars through Discipleship Unlimited and jail ministry. We give homeless families a fresh start through Family Promise. We fight hunger through Love of Christ Food Pantry and Feed My Sheep. We encourage families through Hope House. We extend holistic care through Baylor Scott & White, Faith Community Clinic. And ladies have babies instead of abortions, and over 100 come to know Christ every year through Hope Pregnancy Center. We step into schools week after week, walking with students, sharing life with people, seeing people confess Christ in Temple, Belton, Academy, Troy, Salado, and beyond. But you know, if you've been around TBC, that your generosity doesn't stop locally. Through the giving of God's people at TBC, the good news of Jesus is carried to Mexico, Guatemala, Peru, Ecuador, Nicaragua, Turkey, Albania, France, Cyprus, across the Middle East and the Arabian Peninsula, Papua New Guinea, Spain, Italy, China, Indonesia, Thailand, Egypt, Tatarstan, Ukraine, Tunisia, Uganda, Rwanda, Burundi, Congo, Kenya, Tanzania, Sudan, and South Sudan, among other nations. Generosity Generosity at TBC fuels gospel impact in almost 30 nations. And here's the truth: without the Lord Jesus Christ, none of it would happen. And so we say, to God be the glory, great things He has done and will do. So we want you to hear, giving is not just a call to obedience and maturity. It's part of maturity in Christ, and it's an invitation to fuel gospel mission. And I've listed these things, and these are kind of could be nebulous things, but I'll tell you, this week I know there's a couple that's given generously to TBC, and now two of their three kids are being funded by TBCers as they do mission. Last week, people got baptized in Gatesville Prison because TBCers are there through Discipleship Unlimited. This week, the call to prayer has gone out in Muslim nations, and as that call is going out, TBCers have shared the gospel with their neighbors. There's a single lady in Japan, 99.5% unevangelized. Just got married, as a matter of fact. She and her husband sharing the gospel with people because of your gifts. A homeless single mom got housing for her family in September because you've given. People flooded in Kerrville got physical help and the gospel shared through your gifts. Don't miss the joy. Join us in fueling the gospel from TBC to Temple, to Belton, and to the ends of the earth. We're not going to pass a plate. We're not going to talk about it every week. We are going to update you a little more on where we are. You can You can give through the boxes in the back. You can give online. The QR code on the seat back in front of you will tell you where you can go to give as well. And we want to celebrate with you what God does and how He supplies. See, we want to grow in generosity, but not just in generosity. That's part of our maturing. We want to grow as witnesses. We want to grow in our unity because Jesus died to bring us to God and to bring us together. And man, we want to grow in knowing Him. Because God's grace grows us in Christ through His Word and through His Spirit and through His people, the church. So a couple of questions and one encouragement. What would be the next step for you? How can you take a step this week to grow in prayer and generosity and community? Is it to connect to a small group? Is it to go to a growth class? To connect to women's ministry or a men's group? Second question is, how might God use you to deeply impact others through the gifts He's given? We give time, talent, and treasure. Can you volunteer in Launchpad? Can you serve in Overflow? Can you volunteer at one of our many local partners to help take the gospel to our community? How might God use you to deeply impact others through the gifts that He's given you? Is it hospitality? Is it serving? Is it teaching? Is it loving? Is it giving? Which of these things will God use you to further His kingdom through? Whatever it is, I'm confident of this, that He who began a good work in us will not let us go. And He will not let us stay as we are. He is going to conform us to the image of His Son. And that is where we together will find our deepest and most abiding and longest lasting joy. Would you pray with me? God, together through Your Holy Spirit, would You make us become who we're meant to be? Father, would we be a people who shine brightly as we love our brothers and our neighbors and our enemies? God, would we be a people whose chief rhetoric is this: Jesus Christ is full of love for the world, and He died and rose from the dead to give life for all who believe. That is a message to proclaim. So help us to proclaim it, full of love in our hearts for those who may not yet want to hear it. And help our lives be so radically different than the world's that people can't help but notice what it looks like when Jesus is Lord among a people. Father, thank You that through us and in spite of us, the gates of hell will not prevail against Your church. So magnify Your name through us, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.